and verse 13. Just because it's your birthday, that's because he doesn't mean you.
Dennis, I hope this game never stops. He goes, no, brother, just put it on. Just turn it on. Just turn it on.
All right, and it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to focus on verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, when I was preparing this sermon this week, I had not anticipated that in the night, the building next to the local liquor store would explode. And I, thankfully, nobody was harmed, and that's the first thing. But I did feel a little weird as I watched that and just as I saw the news. And I drove by this morning because curiosity does get this cat from time to time. And I drove by and I saw the boarded up windows of the liquor store and I go, oh, weird, weird. But be not drunk with wine. You know, being drunk with wine will make you do a lot of things you would not normally do. And I tell you what, growing up, how I grew up and just walking around the world, my time spent as a property manager and working in the apartment industry has taught me a lot about how liquor will do things to people that it would not will make people do things they would not normally do. We had a guy one time, we got a phone call. He was very upset. Somebody had broken into their car and they were still in it. What do you mean they were still in it? Well, they're sleeping in my car. Please send security to come look at it. Well, while we were waiting for the police to come, I went to go see what was going on. And I recognized the person behind the thing, and I kind of knock on the window. Sir, what are you doing? Oh, I'm trying to drive home. Okay. This ain't your car. Oh. Yeah, it is. No. No, the owner's real mad. We got to get you out of there. Oh, well, I got to drive home. Sir, you already are home. We could chuckle about that, but to me, what a miserable condition for a man to find himself in. You know, in one moment, I kind of chuckle, but then I think I would never want to be in that position. And I'm sure that when he sobers up and realizes the condition he was in, he's going to be quite shamed at what he did. Alcohol will make you loosen your morals. Alcohol has an angering effect on some, causing abuse and murder and all kinds of violence and vandalism and awful behavior to one towards another. It is a terrible thing to be filled with. But on the other hand, what are we supposed to be filled with? The Holy Spirit. And we see that the Holy Spirit has the same kind of effect, where it possesses the reins of a man, where it allows us to make better decisions and achieve things we would not normally be able to do. Except we don't hurt people when we're filled with the Spirit. We don't hurt ourselves when we're filled with the Spirit. We're able to do incredible things for God when we are filled with the Spirit. Now listen, something fills you. And I'm not going to make this sermon about, hey, are you filled with liquor? Or are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Because there's a lot of things that can fill a person. If it ain't the Spirit that is fueling and filling the child of God, something else will. Something else will. Ephesians 2 verse 2. I want you to turn there if you will, just because it's good to get your eyes on this. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past, I know some of you are still turning, but Ephesians 2, 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Something fills you. Something helps your thought process. Something is the basis for your behavior. And if it ain't the Spirit, it ain't good enough. You understand what I'm saying? Now many think, well, I'm saved. I can't be possessed by the prince of the power of the air. Do you really think that that is the bulk of how the devil works today? Do you think he forces a demon or forces himself into a person, causes them to do the atrocities that we see today? Do you think that's how that works? He can. He does. But he's got an easier route. Turn on that television. Listen to the philosophy of the world. Lift your phone up to your face for a while, your tablet to your face for a while. Sit in front of your computer for a while. Hey, go out there with some of these false religionists. Hey, go out there with some of these people who are led by the devil. And I tell you what, you're going to be quite inspired. And I'll even tell you this, that if you ain't filled with the Spirit and you got all the avenues of the devil shut off, you are still going to have your reins possessed by you. Well, hold on. Shouldn't I make my own decisions? You need to be real careful about the logic you come up with. Is the point I'm trying to say? I'm trying to make. Your anger will help you make decisions. Your lust, your greed, your all the bad things that are in your sin nature will help you. If you don't have the Spirit at the lead, your flesh will take over, and your flesh don't know what he's doing. Some of us, we've got the impulse control of a toddler when it comes down to our sin. We do. You know what I ought to say? And then we say it like we ain't got no good sense. Like we didn't know that was a bad thing to say. I always sit there, we get the opportunity. Well, no one will know if I just grab a hold of this real quick. No one will know if some of this disappears. I'm telling you right now that God will understand. God will see. And he ain't going to be happy about it. If it ain't the Holy Spirit leading you and filling you and driving you, something else will. And it ain't going to come to no good. If we think of ourselves like a fine vehicle, if we're not filled with the Spirit, get ourselves into a little bit of trouble. You ever drive a car that's had its gas tank polluted? What does it do? Sputters, don't it? Sometimes it'll kick off. Sometimes it'll stop working altogether. Right? Until you get that thing drained out, taken care of, and filled back up right, you're going to have issues. The whole system's got to be flushed. If you put something in there, shouldn't be in there. Ruin the engine. You ever see those people, they'll put diesel in a regular engine? Or they'll put regular gas in a diesel engine? Why does it sound like that? Well, it's dying is what it's doing now. It's filled with the wrong thing. It's dying. How about this? You ever drive your car on a very low level of gas? You ever do that? Now, some of you, never, brother. The moment it gets to half, I fill her up. Well, praise the Lord. There have been times in my life where I did not have such resources. Right? And you're driving. How do you drive when you're nervous? You ain't got $2 in your pocket and that gas tank is running on prayer. You get nervous, don't you? Affects your mental stamina a little bit. It wears on your nerves. Every time somebody takes a little bit too long, you start to get real nervous about it. Go, go! The lights turn green. They're still sitting there. Go, go, go! Changes who you are. If you're low on the spirit, or you're filled with something you're not supposed to be filled with, it's going to affect how you do things. It's going to affect your ability to serve the Lord. It's going to affect your ability to live your life. Some folks, they struggle. How do we struggle? Well, let's go back to the scripture here. How is it that we struggle? But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's when you're getting yourself into trouble. You're doing things that are wrong and you ain't got no inclination to think that they're wrong because there ain't no light going on in your life. You fall out of whack with the Holy Spirit when you ain't got light. What source of light does a Christian have concerning their actions? Well, that'd be that book you got in your lap right now. See, the Holy Spirit uses the Word to affect and, yes, sometimes afflict our hearts. You ain't got no light, you're going to stub your toe. You ain't got no light, you're going to hurt yourself. Or I like how Brother Farmer put it a couple weeks ago. You be walking through the house, you ain't got no choice as to what you step on or step in. I'm going to remember that illustration for a long time. Oh no, the dog! No light. That's when you run across a Christian and they're doing something they ought not to be doing. And you say, hey, don't you know you shouldn't be doing that? Well, why not? Other people are doing it. I got it at a Christian bookstore. They got the same kind of name we got on the sign. He's using the same Bible we're using. Hey, no, I mean, I didn't know that that was wrong. I mean, it's light beer. It's fine. Oh, no. Oh, no. If you don't have the light, if you don't have the knowledge of God shining in your heart and mind, you're going to be prone to some dull behavior, some bad behavior. So if you're sitting here this morning and you have found yourself guilty of some bad behavior, guess what? Your tank's low. You ain't as sensitive to the Holy Spirit as you should be. Now I'm gonna clarify, when we say filled with the Spirit, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit comes in percentages. I'm talking about your sensitivity to Him. That's what this verse is talking about. As one could be filled with wine, the effects that it has on them increases, right? If they're filled with it. I've known people go out, they'll have one or two sips and they'll be fine. I've known other people, they'll go out, they'll have one or two glasses or whatever and they will be out of it. Holy Spirit comes in one size. But how filled with Him are you? Some of us, we've got too much going on. Some of us, we've got too many different influences on our lives. If we have found ourselves in a sinful situation, you're low. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what's that first connection? Well, it's a sermon I've preached a million times. You need the Word of God in your life. Oh, you need it. If you struggle at anything, man, struggle in how much fruit you eat. Struggle in how often you mow your grass. Struggle in how clean your windows are. But never struggle in the Word of God. Right? It is better for a person to have a well-read and well-worn Bible than for them to have no dirty clothes on the floor. I'm telling you. I don't know why I picked dirty clothes. You could read your Bible while you're doing your dirty clothes. Well, you know, I got to pay attention to my physical health as well. Did you know that while you're taking a break from whatever exercise you're doing, you could read through the book of Proverbs real good? Read through Psalm real good? Pick a chapter, read through it, depending on how fast you read. You know, some of us, you can sit there, you can do an exercise, grab a chapter. By that time, your body's all ready for what? Another exercise. Take it to physical therapy with you. There you go. Right? It's better than making small talk to the person who walks by carrying all the towels, right? Don't struggle in your Bible reading. Don't. Oh, but brother, I do. Listen to what I said. Don't. You got a choice in what you do today, don't you? Some of you, you already know what you're going to do. The moment we say the last amen, those doors open, you know exactly what you're going to do. Why? Because you've decided. And very little is going to put you off from going there outside of the will of God working against you. Why would we let anything stop us from prioritizing the Word of God? Knowing that going to not read our Bibles is to cut the light of God out of our hearts and minds, opening us up to blindness, right? But all things that are reproved, all the bad things are made manifest by the light. We can see they're wrong. Without the Word of God, it's hard for me to tell you what's right or wrong. It's very hard. Well, this person thinks this and this person thinks that. That's why I hate those kind of debates. Bring me back to the Word of God. Bring me back to thus saith the Lord, and I can tell you where to go. But if I'm sitting there in the dark, I can't do it, even if I think I've got it down. You know, I've been walking through this church the last 2 years pretty regularly. I know where every pew is. I think it was last Wednesday, I was coming through, the lights were off. I figured I'd have it all set. I've got a certain amount of steps I take this way, come this way, I can walk through in the dark. I was so confident, guess what I did? Right there on that pew. Now it's different when I do it, because it don't hurt nothing but your pride. Came back around, went up here, came up this way, went across. You idiot, you need the light to see what you're doing. Folks, that's where we all are. Arrogant. I can do this. What does the Bible say about it? No, I know. No, you put the Word of God on it. Or else you're not going to be able to see straight. You ain't going to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you are not in the light. What happens? We begin to sputter. Don't you hate it when your car ain't working right? I hate it when one of the cars start to mess up. You know what I mean? You got to turn the radio up just to not hear it anymore. It's a bummer. That was a joke, by the way. Don't fix your car that way. But what do we see through Scripture? Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and ariseth from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If I were to put a scale as to your Christian activity, and that scale were to be how awake you are, where are you? Are you sleeping? Sleeping is no activity. It's dormant. You're barely learning. You're barely perceiving what's going on around you. You are not doing anything. You are at rest. You gotta wake up. Pick that Bible up. Fold those hands in prayer. Get to the church. There's opportunity to serve him. Wake up. Because I'll tell you what, your day-to-day Christian walk will suffer. And then if it's suffering now, I'm telling you right where it is. There's a lack of communication between you and the Holy Spirit. There's either sin in the camp, a lack of sensitivity to him. Is something bad, wrong going on there? Wake up. What else does it tell us to do? Not just to wake up, not just to come alive to the activity and to the things that we are called to do. But verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We are literally talking about how often we behave foolishly concerning life. The Word of God in all of its doctrine teaches us how to live. And if you ain't living by it, you're living foolishly. Foolishly. Given all the opportunities and all the education we have, God's people should be the wisest folks on earth. So why is it that we stumble and fall so often? Because we ain't walking circumspectly. We're not walking carefully. You know how many times I've put my feet right here on this stage. I see. Sometimes I only know I'm here because of the looks some of y'all give me. Yeah, oh, there he is again. That ain't smart to do, is it? Anybody here, you'd walk up here and you'd want to walk across this? Anybody here? And other than the kids? You wouldn't, right? Brother, that ain't circumspect. I'll fall. And that is too far of a way to fall. Some of us can't fall from the distance of our feet. To fall off of that would be very disrupting. Right? That'd throw a whole bunch of stuff off, wouldn't it? Yet we take those risks in our lives. Well, it's not as bad as climbing on the roof. That's going to hurt too. That's going to hurt too. What do we need to do? We need to walk better. If I know what if I know the difference between wisdom and foolishness concerning my life, I need to do it. Don't walk as fools. What does a fool do? A fool knows better but doesn't do better. That's a fool. Right? I hate this response from folks. You tell them, hey, you're not supposed to do that. I know! Well, then what are you doing it for? That's the definition of foolishness. Telling me that you know only brands you a fool. At least back when I thought you didn't know, you had some merit to you. Well, I know I'm not supposed to do it. Just chill. Okay. That's not circumspect. That's not being led by the Holy Spirit. And guess what happens? You walk into a hot mess. You fall into trouble. You end up hurting yourself. You end up hurting somebody else. You're not supposed to do that. Not sure if I wanted to use this illustration, but I'm going to anyway. I found a sermon from somebody. I was listening to their sermon, and then I kind of looked up to where they're doing now, and they had done something that they weren't supposed to do. And I did that thing from the hockey game that we went to when they do something nice, but you can't do that. Jumped up in my head. Kept going out to lunch with their secretary. You can't do that. Went out to Bible conferences, invited the secretary. Can't do that. Ran off with the secretary. You can't do that. Got a divorce, left their wife. Thankfully they had grown kids, but that's still a bad situation, man. You hurt your wife. You made promises to her. You broke those promises. You broke the promises you made to the Lord. Broke the promises you made to the church. You can't do that. Took off to another country for a while where nobody knew his name or what he had done. You can't do that. Came back to America. Started preaching again. You can't do that. You can't do that. We need to walk circumspectly. Oh, but think of all the good. No. No. You made a mess. And now you confound people with your behavior because what the Bible says disqualifies you. You're still doing it. That is what Saul did. Aren't we preaching about that on Wednesday nights? Isn't that what Saul did? You ain't qualified no more, Saul. You don't deserve that throne anymore, Saul. You can't be doing that work, Saul. Get down. We have no right to be sputtering. It don't feel good to be sputtering in our Christian walk. So what must we then do? Well, we got to fill up. Now we see here through Scripture, fill up on what? Certainly not wine. That does no good for us whatsoever. Certainly not on my flesh. I'm already filled with my flesh. Certainly not on this world. There's no wisdom or soundness found in their logic, reasoning, or philosophy. Filled with what? Verse 18, filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Acts 4, verse 8. And it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Peter was a
bold man, wasn't he? He was bold. What is it that gave him his boldness? Well, we would say the Holy Spirit made him bold. But you know who made him bold before? I mean, Peter, we pick on him for what he says, but when he hit it out of the park, he hit it out of the park, didn't he? When he got it right, he got it good. I'm just saying. He stood in front of these people. He was made whole by Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ to be right with the Holy Spirit. Number one, that's salvation. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry for my sin. I understand my responsibility to burn in hell for an eternity for it. I'm sorry for it. But I trust that Jesus Christ came down on the cross to pay my penalty. Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. We need salvation. Salvation gives you boldness. Boldness links you back in with the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? In order for me to serve the Lord right, I've got to have the Holy Spirit. But in order to get right with the Holy Spirit, I've got to show a little boldness? Yep. Absolutely. You know, it's our neighbors, they had a bonfire last night. You know what they needed in order to start the fire? A little bit of fire. I don't know, maybe they used an old flint system. Maybe they, a little flint, a sparkiness. Maybe they got a match. Maybe it was a whole bunch of gasoline and they threw a fiery tennis ball at it. Don't ask me why that works, but it does. Don't ask me how I know why that works. It does. But you got to have, sometimes you got to kick off a bigger fire. If I'm right with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be boldness. Can I ask you a question? Are you bold? Are you serving the Lord? Do you even have a desire to serve Him in that way? I was telling people on Friday, I was walking through the Flushing Park, and I had a shirt on. I had a bunch of Bible references on it, just verses and the addresses to the verses. And in the front was a big old cross, and this lady stopped me. She goes, "Excuse me, sir." And I go, "Yeah. What's that symbol on your chest?" Now, I'm assuming that she grew up in a place where she's never seen a cross before. So that's a cross, you know, I'm a pastor. I was ready for a fight. I thought for sure she asked me a dumb question so that she could start a conversation where she let me have it. And I was so prepared for that conversation. And it turned out to be a pleasant conversation, right? But I was so surprised that it turned out pleasantly. I never gave her the gospel. Now, granted, she could find where I am. I told her who I was and where she could come get it, but I never gave it to her. That was a lack of boldness. I was so ready for something else, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. You ever been in that position? I was so flustered and caught up in this or that, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Where's the boldness? Well, if you ain't filled with the Spirit, you ain't going to have no boldness. And sometimes to get that filling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you got to have a little boldness. You got to stand up. You got to be there. I remember as a younger preacher sitting in the front row waiting for the pastor or someone to call me up to preach, shaking. But then when I get up here, I felt okay. All you had to do is, and I can't remember what preacher told me that, all you got to do is manage those three steps. The Holy Spirit takes care of the rest. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still nervous most days. And some days it's all I have just to walk those three steps. Everything's fine. All you got to do is, "Hey, how you doing? Where you go to church? Hey, you all right? Oh, beautiful day, isn't it? Hey, let me give you this. This is a little bit." And next thing you know, you're doing something you're terrified to do. And you look back and you go, "Oh, that's quite confident. Oh, I was, you know what, I got everything out. I'm very pleased that I was able to fully explain. I was very happy at how that conversation went. You know, it's been a good long time. You know, I stood up against that sin. It's been a good long time since I've had temptation to do that again. You know, I'm glad that I just stood up and trusted the Lord and did what He wanted me to do. And the Holy Spirit took it from there. Man, I'm very glad." You need to trust the Holy Spirit. Show a little boldness. He'll supply the rest. Peter let him have it, man. That sermon was a powerful one. It was not a very polite one. It was a very in-your-face one. Recently, I found
I've always known those tapes were there, but I went out and I got an old cassette player. It was brand new, but it's a cassette player. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Many of you do. You know that? Maybe like, oh yeah, that came after 8 tracks. Yeah. Started listening to some of those sermons. I heard a preacher. He let that congregation have it. Pretty sure it was this congregation. I go, whoo! That was hard. That was some hard preaching. It was good preaching. That's some hard preaching. Peter didn't hold no punches. The Holy Spirit made Peter strong that day, made him bold that day. But I tell you what, you gotta get there to be led by the Holy Spirit. You gotta trust in the Lord. You gotta give yourself over to that level of boldness, or you won't find it. Acts 4:31 says this, you don't have to turn there, but, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What else did they do? It's not just standing, what else do you do? Prayer. The more you communicate to God, the more sensitive to His will and way you're going to be. You need to give yourself to prayer. I talked about, hey, it's okay if it takes a little while for you to get some things. If you're going to suffer in anything, suffer in a small thing, because prayer is no small thing. Prayer is everything. Many a church today is dying, not because of the times, not because of how close we are to the rapture, but because they lack the Holy Spirit, and they lack the Holy Spirit because there's no prayer in that church. I'm not talking, Lord, thank you for today. Be with the pastor, be with the sick, be with the food in Jesus' name, amen. I'm not talking about those prayers. I'm talking about the needy prayers, the requesting prayers, the relying on Him prayers, the praising prayers. We need it all. We need intense prayer. And if we lack that, we will lack sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. But if we have it, it'll fix so much that's wrong with our lives. So much. How can we as Christians live a life with little prayer and little Bible reading and still be so confounded as to what's making our lives so difficult? Because the one that's supposed to be giving you boldness and power, you ain't listening to him. You're not sensitive to it. It's a car without gas. It's a gun without bullets. It's a sailboat with no wind. How can you have the Holy Spirit with no prayer? If God uses the Holy Spirit to lead and push us, but we ain't talking to Him. You ever talk to somebody who ain't listening? All when they need you, they'll reach out, won't they? All when they need you, they'll reach out. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Don't do that. Hey, we ought to pray today to the Father. Hey, listen, you ought to go over here. Hey, you got to stop doing that. Then all of a sudden, when the bad stuff happens in our lives, oh, where's the Holy Spirit? Oh, God, where are you? You uh-huh'd your way so far away from Him. There ain't no sensitivity whatsoever. You got to pray. You got to rely on Him. You got to build that relationship up. Acts 7, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Do you know who that is? You know who that is, don't you? That's Stephen. He's about to die. Die for what? Some bold preaching of his own. Looked up and he saw Christ. The church up in Traverse City, Faith up in Traverse, They have a conference, and the theme of it is always, we see Jesus, and every year he adds a new aspect of it. We see Jesus in this, we see Jesus in that. Without the Holy Spirit, my friends, even we as his children cannot see Jesus. We will only ever see ourselves. Some folks, they go through the worst event in their lives, and all they see is themselves. Some of us go through the worst, those terrible events, and we see Christ. What's the difference? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is his death. He saw Christ. He saw the Father. You know what? I don't know exactly what God is doing, but I do see his hand. I do see what he is doing, and we'll have the boldness to do what we ought to do, and we'll have a closeness with God we would not normally have. But without the Holy Spirit having a deep impact in our lives and full control over us, well, I tell you what, we'll never have those things. We'll never know those things. And even if we did have them, they'll be but a memory. Oh, I remember back when it was easier. Maybe you're here and you ain't ever had it. You don't know what it's like to be led by the Holy Spirit. You live life by the shoulda, woulda, couldas and the justifications of sin. You've never felt that closeness. You know whose decision that is? That's on you. That's on each and every last one of us. You know what else we need to fill up on? We need to fill up on faith and joy. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believed and therefore spoken. I believed what God had to say, so I said it too. We believed what God had to say, and that's where we went with it. How true is that for you this morning? Is there any passage of scripture your life ain't right with? And is it because you either don't believe that you can do it or you don't believe you want to do it? Either way, it's obedience. Sorry, disobedience. Either way, it's disobedience. If your life ain't right, been talking a lot about the Great Commission lately. If your purpose is not to fulfill the Great Commission, you ain't got the right kind of purpose. And don't be surprised when there's sorrow, frustration, and regret in your life. Flipping the coin, I said faith. And faith, as we act in faith and live in faith, there's a side effect. Being found within the will and the purpose of God, having full faith, having sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Psalm 16:11 tells us, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Well, you just got rules. No, I ain't got rules. I got a roadmap to happiness. I've got a roadmap to excitement. I've got a roadmap to joy. Joy when it don't make sense for me to have joy. Well, you're going through all this, and most folks would sit there and say that life is depression and mourning and sorrow and you never heal from it. That's not the way God made me. And I'll tell you this, that ain't the way God made you. If you're born again, you are a new creature. One who can always experience joy. One that can always experience these wonderful things we see in the Bible. We're talking about it in our Sunday school class. I don't need these things. And if I distance myself from them, I'll have these. I am not losing freedoms to do certain things. I've lost my desire for them. So that I may have better things. Better things. And that's what God gives us, better things. If I go where the Holy Spirit wants me to go, if I obey the Word of God the way He impresses upon me to do, I will have better things than if I followed my flesh. Better things than if I followed my own will and ways. Better things than if I followed the modern day beliefs of philosophy. Better things. What we need is what Colossians 1:9 says. Go ahead and go to Colossians 1:9.
I'll wait for you there. Colossians 1:9.
While you're there, we're aware of the verse that says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You know how you make sure that you're not quenching the Spirit and instead you're causing its influence on you to grow? Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, and spiritual understanding. When you mess up, or you're about to mess up, have you ever had it where you're about to give into temptation and a verse comes to mind? You ever have that? You ever been in a situation where you needed to make a decision and a verse pops up to mind? For the child of God, you know what does that? You know what's responsible for doing that? Yeah, you do. The Holy Spirit does that. I wasn't even thinking about that, and there it was. I was about to say this, I was about to do that, and I don't really know what to do, and all of a sudden there's this other verse that comes in. I like listening to people come and give devotion or listen to other people preach, and when the Holy Spirit just gives me other verses to go along with it, just, all right, I love that. You need to increase in the knowledge of God, because how can you be led somewhere you don't know where it is? He can only bring to mind what is already in your mind. Oh, and sure, there might be other things and ways that you are preserved by God and led by God, but it is far easier when you are led by God through His Word. You must increase your understanding of the Word of God. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I want to know Christ. I've told you long ago, I don't want to ever be caught reading my Bible just so I can check a box. There's 1,000 motivations for wanting to read the Word of God. Should be, I want to know God. I want to get to know Him. I want to know Christ. I like studying through just the things that Christ said. I like studying His actions and His behaviors. Did a whole devotional set just on the way He made decisions through the Word. It's just following through. How did Jesus make decisions doing this? How did He act in these situations? What can I glean from that to put it into my own life? You want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you got to get to know the other parts of the Godhead real well. Because if you reject one or you're weak on one, you're going to be weak on them all. And of course we know, and we'll look at this next week in our Sunday school class, we got to start growing those fruit of the Spirit. When we go through that, I want you to consider those fruit and ask yourself, am I growing the fruit of the Spirit? If not, how do I fix this? How do I change that? Do I need to change what I'm putting in the soil of my heart? Do I need to change the way I think about things? Do I need more light? What do I need? What do I need to grow these fruits? And as you're on that journey, you'll find more sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide you better. And in guiding you better, you'll become more sensitive. God knows what He is doing. It is important and just so very valuable to us that we abide by it. And once you are filled again with the Holy Spirit, and once you can confidently say, yes, I am on this road. Yes, I am growing the fruit of the Spirit. I'm increasing in my understanding. I'm following along in faith. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to. Then you must, my friends, stay filled with the Spirit. Because remember what I said out of Ephesians 2:2, something will lead you. Something will lead you, and it will try to lead you again. Societal pressures, fleshly desires, whatever sin you're involved in, it'll continue to come back. And in those moments, I want you to remember the anxiety, the frustration, the quick irritation, the problems that just overwhelm you. And I want you to remember those things. And I want you to decide not to be led by the things that walk in that path. Don't go that way. I hate walking. This time of year, it's always a gamble when you go out walking in the woods because you never know when you're going to get stuck in the mud, right? It's like, oh, that path's all messed up. You ever guess on a path that you're walking on? And you go, all right, well, this was a little rough. So you force your way through it, and then you find that it's even worse beyond that path. So then you got to come back through that muck again. And now you're all muddy and dirty and nasty. You got to remember not to walk down that way. We got to be smarter than that. See, we think that we're getting something when we're led by anything other than the Holy Spirit. When I let my flesh decide, when I go along with what other people are doing so that I can feel fuzzy and warm and good and inclusive in my behavior so that I fit in with everybody. You think you're getting something out of there, but all you're doing is getting robbed. All you're doing is getting robbed. It's a flash in a pan. It is a fad, a very easy and simple trick that offers so much, but gives so little. Gives so little. I always use the illustration of Furbies. Remember Furbies? You probably never had one, but some folks probably did. When I was a kid, that was the big thing, Furbies. Those things were weird. Just imagine a little tiny robot thing that would make noises and it didn't speak English all the way and you had to teach it things and everybody wanted one. And then once you had one for maybe a week, you just wanted the batteries to die. It was just noise. And it was nonsense. I think so often I go, man, that is the desire for fitting into the world. That is the desire for fitting in. Just it's you look into it, it's nonsense. Why did I waste my time and money on this? Well, everybody else was doing it. And when I took it to school, everybody thought it was so neat and so wonderful. It's like when you blow, cars are expensive now. You sit there, you buy one of those $120,000 cars, spend more on it than most people spend on their houses. What happens after 7 to 10 years? That car ain't worth much. I guess depending on how you take care of it. But it'll fluctuate with people's desires to have it, am I right? Think of other fads. Beanie Babies. Remember full-grown adults wearing themselves out to get these kids' stuffed toys? They're going to be worth millions! You couldn't give them away. Right now, you can't give them away. You know, my thought was, you know, everybody likes playing cornhole nowadays. Everybody's got Beanie Babies. Put the game together. It's useless. We need to remember the futility of following along in ridiculous paths. Now, I'm not talking about the evils of Furbies and Beanie Babies and fads. That's not my point. I'm talking about the deep stuff. I'm talking some of the mental philosophy of this world. Those are cute illustrations for very serious problems we have today. We could sit there and say, well, I fit in with the common day philosophy. Get your running shoes on, because it's going to change and change and change and change and change. And my problem is that with that, that it's changing, but it's because, as the Bible says, it's all based on shifting sand. You can't build anything on it. You can't trust it. It is weak. Do not quench the Spirit with these sins and these dumb philosophies. Galatians 5:16. Thus I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm walking in the Spirit, we're not going that way. And the more I walk with Him, the less distractions I'm susceptible to. And my friend, I am good at distractions. Oh man, I'm good at distractions. I got in this morning. I had a list of things I was going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to run around here. I'm going to take care of all those things. Get all the lights on. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to study my notes. That's what I'm going to do. That is not what I did. I got in, I got curious about something I had seen on Friday, went into that back closet in there, found a bag sitting on the floor. I go, oh, what's this bag sitting on the floor? It was a bag of tapes. Inside that bag of tapes was a bunch of cassette covers. Didn't know what was in them, so guess what? Did I open every single last one of them, or did I go about my business? I opened every single last one of them. I found Berlin Heisel preaching on the Trail of Blood. I got all excited. I've got a book from Berlin Heisel about Baptist history. I got all excited about that. I wasted Mark's time talking about that this morning. I'm good at distraction. But we ought not to be guilty in the distraction towards sin or away from God. We ought not to be guilty of that. Oh, well, I promised I would never do that again, but I got into a bad situation, so I just put on the old way of handling that problem real quick. And did it work? No. Weirdest thing. I did things the way I always would do them, and I lived in anxiety and frustration and disobedience to God, and I had to do it. I had to go back to the old way of doing it, and it didn't work. Huh. Not doing things God's way don't work. That'd be a good sermon, wouldn't it? If it weren't every sermon. If it weren't every sermon. You can't do things outside of the way God says. And again, we see wisdom in it. This world would, even if you stripped God away and you taught the precepts and principles of God, you taught the wisdom of God to them, they would sit there and say, oh, that's some good philosophy right there. I tell you what, I put some smart-talking, cigar-smoking, fast-car-driving fool to put those words in his mouth. Everybody would sit there and go, oh, but it's God, so they say no. These are good things, strong things to stand on. Let's not get distracted by the banality of this world, by the foolishness of our impulse. But instead, let us turn to the Lord and walk in the Spirit. You got a problem walking after the flesh. It is not a problem with your flesh. That flesh has always been a problem. You are not walking with the Spirit. Oh man, I've got all this stuff going on and I don't feel the Lord, and I have a hard time praying, and I have a hard time reading, and I'm having a hard time focusing at church, and having a hard time putting God's rules and God's direction into my life. I'm struggling. You're struggling to walk with the Spirit. That's the problem. You got to fix that. Because if you're walking properly with the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be in that mess. Again, hard times, tribulations, big decisions, small decisions, random irritations, those things will happen. But they will be different with the power of God behind you. That's what you need. To walk with the Spirit. How else? Don't quench the Spirit. Continue to walk in the Spirit so that you're not falling off into sin or bad thinking. Finally, I would say this. You want closeness with the Holy Spirit? You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? James 1:8. James 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's a whole sermon in that verse. This book should not depart from our mouth. When we speak biblically. We use Bible verses, Bible logic, Bible reasoning when we speak. It is free of sin, distraction. It is filled with a bodiness. It is completely empty of bodiness and evil and all that. We're removed from those things. What is it filled with? The knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the peace of God. The wonder of God all comes back to Scripture. Lacking all of the sinful turn of phrases and innuendos and angers and wraths and prejudices. See, that's all for the world. Let them have it. I wish it was gone, but let them have it. That's not ours. It's not ours to speak. But we should instead meditate day, meditate therein. Meditate what? Meditate in the Word of God. Therein, in the Word of God. Day and night. Not just reading, absorbing, accumulating, pondering it. Not just going, that's a good verse. No. Am I right with this verse? Is my life emulating this verse? Is it showing this verse? How can I get right if I'm wrong? How can I fix this? What more can, where can I place this? What can I do? And we read it again and again, and we meditate in it again and again. I want you to think of your favorite. I want you to think of your favorite book. Now, I know, what's your favorite book? The Bible. Okay, so there's the Bible. What's your second favorite book? I want you to think about it. A book you've read a few times. When you go back through that book that you like so well, don't you like the parts you remember real good? Like, don't you get a good idea? Okay, we're at that part where this is about to happen. I get so excited. I can't sleep right now because this is about to happen, right? I've got a book down there. It's a very encouraging book. It doesn't tell a story. It's just encouraging to a child of God. It's called Telling the Truth. Very wonderful, very encouraging, especially when you're kind of feeling down about things. It's a wonderful book. I'll pick that book up and, all right, here's that good part. Put the phone down. Get this quiet. Here's the good part. You develop a comfort and an understanding. And if you're not a reading person, all right, well, think about your favorite movie then. All right, this is about to happen. Oh, man, I'm so excited. Did you know that you could read and meditate on the Word of God so much that you have a full understanding, like you could have that same relationship with the Bible? I've talked to different preachers. Some say, well, I've read the Bible about 30 times and I'm finally starting to get an inclination at all times of where I am, what's about to happen, and there's a comfortableness with it. To the point where if somebody were to start saying a passage of scripture, I know what's the I know what the rest of it's going to be. Some say 30. I heard another guy say 50. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I'm sure that if you're at 30, you're going to have a better understanding and a better grasp of it and a better familiarity with it once you get to 50 times or 60 times. There was a lady I knew, her name was Violet Hall. She read the Bible through 4 times a year. Now I know what you're saying, how could you possibly get it? She had the brain to do it, folks. That's all I could say. Could I do it? Probably not, but she did it. And she had the brain to pull it off because she would just rattle scripture off. Impressive. All impressive. I want a familiarity with the Word of God. I do. I don't want the Holy Spirit to have to patch what little I know together to put an influence on me. I want Him to have every resource available. I want this mind to be comfortable with the Word of God so that I can be led in it and grown by it. So I pray you're not sitting here this morning low in spirit or filled with anything other but the Spirit. So very easy to get this fixed. You understand? There ain't no 12-step program for this. It's called repentance and faith. Very easy. Sounds complicated when you think about it, but it really ain't. What we need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe I needed this. I feel so often I just come up here and preach on my own stuff, but Lord, we all need to be filled with the Spirit. Help us not to be deaf with You in any passage or way, but Lord, whatever it is You'd have us to do, however it is that You'd have us to do it, we need the Holy Spirit to get us there. So Lord, help our prayer lives, not just to be close to You, not just to be close to Your Son, but to be close to the Holy Spirit, so that we would get to know all parts of the triune God. Lord, help our reading. Help it to be effective. Help us to marinate in it. Lord, when it says meditate, I don't think the pressure on us is how many times we've read, but Lord, how much of an effect Your Word has on us. That's what we need to focus on. Is it having an effect? Oh, Lord, have an effect on us through Your Word and the working of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps that Holy Spirit is working to save some soul today. Perhaps, Lord, it is to correct a wayward child, or, Lord, to strengthen one who is waning and strengthen one who is waning. Lord, whatever we need, I pray you help us. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.